Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye bye.
Hello, dear viewer or listener. This is a Bergkamp Wonderland. We are now sponsored by Uber Eats, so we are officially a Farmers League podcast. And you like those Sky potatoes. Anyway, this is the awards show, the one that you all look forward to all year to see of who's managed to figure out how to use a VPN or turn their phone on and off of porn mode. Apparently, I've been told. No, not saying who told me, Josh. But that's another way that you can vote as many times as you want. I'm quite surprised that Mike and Andy haven't fixed it. But yeah, again, I've still got quite a while to go. So with me tonight, I have going from left to actually, I'm going to go from right to left. Because somebody got the right ump the other night when he was named last. So, with me tonight, it's the wonderful Carl, right?
See, Danny Yuzel was my favourite. That's why I voted for you.
We've already been through who we voted for. And, I've been picked on because I didn't vote for myself, unlike you three cheeky monkeys. Next, it's only John Welsh. All right, Johnny boy?
I mean, I would have been if I'd clicked unmute a little bit quicker and then look vaguely professional and just adjust my camera whilst we're on air as well. There we go. Yeah, everything's perfect, Danny. I'm great.
Oh, good. You look like you're using Jason's computer. Your flow isn't very powerful tonight.
Oh, am I a bit slow tonight, am I?
I've put mine on medium power. Talking about medium power, it's the man with the legs, the translucent legs, and you can see him riding around Area 51 because that's where he lives, people. It's only Josh. All right, Josh.
Hey, Danny. Long time no speak, right?
Oh, actually, it's not Johnny. I think it's my computer because you're all looking not very HD-ish. They're again, the wonderful people at Sky. They've changed my contract with them, and they said I'll be getting the new super fast internet speed. It was 40 down and 10 up. It's now 30 down and 20 up. I don't think it's meant to work like that, you fucking idiots. Anyway, let's go and have a look and see if we've got any. There are some. I'm getting an advert on our own channel. That's disgusting. Skip ad. Didn't turn that on. Right. In the chat box, we have Nikki Wilson. We have Michael in Sweden. Tom Douglas. Got you, Muppets. Oh, Brandon, Jason Grosso. Jason, the Jason isn't here for you to argue with. Thunder Road is there. And Stephen Edwards. Pablo Amar. Oh, shame it's not Pablo Amar. Ah, you've got Loki from Northern Peterborough-ish area. Or was it Southern Lincolnshire? One or the other. And Chronicles of Aguna. It's only Harry. Harry is one of two people at the moment doing decent midweek transfer shows. The other one is Tom. All the rest of them, forget about them. They're making it all up. But these two really know what they're doing. And if you want to put a link into your channel, Harry, feel free. Reese. 1237 is there. Frankie Four Eyes and Nikki's just saying hello to people. Hello to everybody. Right, this is the time of year where all of our hard work is voted for. Trying not to. Oh, it's in Cambridgeshire. Okay, Loki. Yes. So I can't think of anything else to say other than just getting on with it. So I'm not sure what point we should close the voting. Whether I should just leave it running all the way through the show. So I'm going to do a quick refresh. The first one we're going to pick is Arsenal Player of the Year. So, Carl, who did you pick? I think we're allowed to pick three.
I picked Lacazette.
Yeah.
I picked Aaron Ramsey. Ooh. And I also went for Bert Leno.
Ah, you picked two out of three that I did. John, who did you pick?
I went for Ramsey. It was easy pick. Lacazette. And Maitland-Niles.
Mm-hmm. Poor old Ashley. And Josh, who'd you vote for?
I've just checked. I've opened up my session. The last time I voted, I voted for Lacazette, Aubameyang, and Alex Iwobi.
Oh, lovely. And no surprise, Jay in the chat window picked Ellis, because I think that's Ellis's nephew or something like that. Danny, we know Iwobi. I didn't pick Iwobi. I picked, because it highlights it when you vote, I picked Lacazette, Aubameyang and Leno. But Ramsey, if he would have signed the ting, I probably would have voted for him and he would have played the entire season.
He was going to sign the ting.
Was he shit on by the club?
Yeah, someone shit on. Yeah.
Is there any chance now, John, being the Serie A expert that you are, that Ramsey and what's his name?
I don't know.
No, the new Juventus manager.
Sarri.
I keep thinking Ranieri. I don't know why my brain was telling me to say Ranieri. Is there any chance that Sarri will go, no, you're not coming to Juventus, and then he'll come home?
No, because the managers don't have any say in who gets signed for the club.
Of course they don't. That's the modern way of being a football manager, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right, people in the chat box, Jay is saying he loves Ellis. Ellis is the best. Thunder Road is saying Jason Davis must... No, I'm not going to read that out. He said the reason he wouldn't be here. Although that is his nickname. All Shagger. Ellis picked Nicky Wilson picked Ellis. Norwich Boys for Life. I think that is the new film that that Snoop Dogg is actually filming on the streets of Norwich at the moment. That might be fake news. Oh yes, Carl telling people to stick their thumbs up. Right, so officially going to do one quick refresh and then tell you who the winners were. First place, Alexander Lacazette, 145 votes and 30%. Second place, Aubameyang, 127 votes and 26%. And third place, Aaron Tappy Ramsey, 53 votes, most of them from Jason. And actually, Jason has no idea how to multi-vote. Otherwise, Ramsey would have won that of about 2,500 votes and 11%. Bernd Leno in fourth place with 45 votes. Torreira in fifth place with 18. And the rest of them, no one really cares for. I find it really interesting that just looking at the votes, Mohamed Elneny got twice as many votes as Mustafi. But there again, Josh, you did say that Mustafi is one of the five worst Arsenal players of all time.
I didn't say that. How rude.
You did say that.
When did I say that?
Two nights ago. Those were your exact words. One of the five worst Arsenal players ever.
Oh, mate. No, that was Carl.
That was me. That was me.
Yeah.
I always get you two mixed up.
It's true. Like, don't we?
Yeah.
Is my phone interfering with my app?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yes,
the one that said, oh, phone's on silent.
No, it's on silent. It's just, I don't know what it's doing. I've got it on Wi-Fi. So, J-Rob is there. So that's another person. So we've got 24. That's 20 less people, 20 more people than I thought there would be. Archie, that's right from Carl. Was it? It was Carl. Apparently Archie says it was you, Carl. Carl, you are a very bad man. Right, game of the season. I picked Valencia 2, Arsenal 4, only because to go away to Valencia, even though they have been match-fixing, as it's turned out, I thought that was one hell of a result. And my other choice would have been the 1-0 away win at Napoli. But, Josh, what did you pick?
I did exactly the same as you, Danny.
Oh, well, there you go. That is obviously the people's vote. And we're not going to redo it, because that's not how things work here. Carl, who did you pick?
I picked Arsenal 4, Spurs 2.
It's happened so often. Can't say I blame you.
It was a hell of a game, back and forth. Do you remember we was 1-0 up, 2-1 down, and then 4-2 up. Brilliant game.
Lovely. John, who do you vote for?
It's easy. It's beating the scum, isn't it? It's always best game of the season. I know it happens all the time. You know, every season it's what we do. It's just, you know, simple. But I never stop liking it. Why would you?
It is a thing of beauty. Doing another tweet to let that buzzing noise I can hear. It's actually my cat snoring. I thought it was my phone going off, but it's not. Right. So, did any of you listeners vote? Who did you vote for? The Liverpool draw was quality, says Brandon. Nicky Wilson says, I can't spell birthday. That was Sean's mate's boyfriend, and he decided to pump those letters up with his car pump and blew two of them up. And although Sean's birthday party was the 26th of May, and no one's taken them down, and look, with my arthritic arms, I've got short arm, I can't reach. But luckily, they served a dual purpose. It was Betty and Dora's 7th birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to two.
Have you not got a poking stick with a sharp bit on the end? You can just pop them.
Then they just look like used prophylactics, wouldn't they? And that's not the image we're going for. Ah, Alba 7 says bogeys. You could say that louder. Oh, Richard is there. Cactus Jack, been on the pod and the live shows many times this last season, and will be back a few times next season as well. Richard, shouldn't you be busy rigging the vote so that you win? You ain't got time to be typing hello in the chat box here. Right, so I'm going to go and do a... I've got so many things I'm doing at once here. So I'm going to go and do a refresh. It had 176 votes. It's now got 176 votes. The winner is Arsenal 4, Spurs 2 with 134 votes. Second place was Valencia 2, Arsenal 4, which we all know that is the real winner with 14 votes. I don't care if we've got 120 less. That's not how voting works in this country. And third place, Arsenal 3, Leicester 1, which many would say was the game of the season. It was for one of our players, with 10 votes. So next one we're going to move on to is Arsenal goal of the season. John, what did you pick?
Well, there's a theme you're going to notice here. It's Aaron Ramsey against Fulham, obviously. It's a great, great team goal. But yeah, just...
Do you remember the goal? Because
it was... I'm thinking, yeah, it's a great team goal. And now I'm trying to remember, is it the one where he did the little back heel flick thing? It is that one, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that could well be the very same goal.
It was lovely.
Carl, who do you vote for?
Same as John, Ramsey versus Fulham. I remember he started on the right-hand side, ball into Ramsey. I remember the header from Ramsey, carrying on running, ball out wide, flicked bottom left-hand corner. Lovely, lovely goal.
Okay, Josh, who did you pick?
I went for Lacazette. Versus Liverpool.
Is it in there? Because when I was asking everybody for things to list on the, I was doing another tweet, list, I think quite a few people didn't, and there might be a few on there that weren't. And that one of them I added in later on, which might have got less votes. So,
The Lacazette versus Liverpool, the one where he basically gets forced out wide, more or less takes it around the keeper and curls it into the far post. Lovely little goal from him.
And I went, again, with game of importance, I went with the Lacazette's free kick away at Napoli. To go and win at Napoli is, especially that game, what do they have, about 20, 25 shots at goal? And for us to come away with a 1-0 win with a magnificent free kick, because he's had a few decent free kicks in his time with us. But there, the winner is Ramsey v Fulham. And the second place was Aubameyang v Leicester. And third place was Ramsey, again, v Spurs, where he came off the bench. Was that the one we came off the bench?
Came off the bench in both the games, didn't he?
Ah, that's probably why I got easily confused. So, congratulations, Mr. Aaron Ramsey. You have now won one award. Good. So, here we go. Best podcast guest of the season. Let's have a look. You had 310 votes. Going to do a little refresh. Still got 310 votes. We're starting last. No, we weren't starting last place. We're going to count down from fifth place. One, two, three, four, five. It's only Mr. Chopsy Chops himself, Gav from SheWolf, 27 votes. If Gav really would have cared about this, he's got a million followers on Twitter and Facebook, he could have easily won this. And in fourth place was Andy, the gooner in Denver. Nearly said Devon then. Jesus, my vision for you. He got 38 votes. Again, he hasn't managed to find out how to rig the system. Now, Mr. Rig the System himself, Mike, from the Gooners podcast, he come third with 52 votes. In second place, it's Richard, who's in the chat box at the moment, with 77 votes. But the winner was Lana with 103 votes. She beat everybody by 26 votes. That is quite an amazing result, because she messaged me on WhatsApp and said, why did I win? And I gave her exactly the same answer as Josh did, but we're not going to tell her what we messaged back to her. But my second message was, because you're just really, really good.
It's because she knows lots and lots about football.
Yeah, that is the real reason, because she is. And she is, I think she scares people. So people voted for her. Otherwise, she might beat them. And she did say if she gets home from work and gets the computer ready, she might join us for the last 5 minutes of the show to accept her award, which is a bit of a problem because there's no, she's not messaging me yet.
We don't actually have a physical award, do we, Danny?
No, we had only once did we do awards, and Chris got it done and sent it to Jeff, and Jeff took a picture of it when he won it in the very first season. I think this is our fifth or sixth time of the awards. So there you go. Congratulations to Lana. Let's go and have a look in the chat box and see if, which one am I on? There you go, Chrome.
Comment of the day. Chris is like a guest these days. Chris should have been put in the guest bit. He shouldn't, yeah. I agree with Archie. That's superb. that's brilliant.
He was meant to be here tonight, wasn't he? But what was his excuse?
He's got seasickness even though he's on land. It's very weird. Chris is a totally backwards pirate. He can't get it right, can he?
He's not. Thunder Road has put Cactus Jack. Are you the geezer that looks like a smaller version of GFP? No, he's a better looking chap than I am, and he's got about 20 years on me, which is always going to be a good thing. Alba 7 says Alba's second against Leicester was a good goal. Archie says Lana for VIP. Loki says Lana well deserved. Cactus Jack says well done, Lana. Thunder puts Lana is good in small doses. She knows more about football than I do, and she's a better talk about football than I am. Petito's there. All right, mate. You were. I'm not going to say how many votes Petito got, but I don't think some of you even voted for yourselves.
This has been Chris is cutting sleeves off his t-shirts.
Oh, dear. Right. So, how long have we been going? See if I can milk this way. We're only doing 15 minutes. Right, John, you're going to have a long moan about the season. So, yeah, congratulations to Lana there. Right, the one that we all care the most about had 167 voters to see how rigged this has been. Oh, there's been four more votes. Okay, the final votes are, someone's voted for me, good, says I'm not in the draw for third place. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. In 16th place, it's Dom. 15th place, it's Andrew. Neither of which I even think they know the votes are going on. Ellis has been busy working night shifts all this week, so he's in whatever Bucket place list. That is. And going to start off in 5th place. It's only Steve Lord Hillwood with 39 votes. Well done, Steve.
Well done, Steve.
Yes.
Hang on. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry. I thought my one was different. It's all right.
No, refresh the page. See if anyone's changed it. 172 votes. There's been another vote from somewhere. What's that done?
Oh, look who's above Jason.
Oh, hello. No.
Right, it's still where it is. Votes are frozen.
The votes are in.
So in...
what's that? From 8th place.
Eight. Right, yeah. In 8th place, it's only Josh with 29 votes. Josh, how did you vote for yourself 29 times?
What I did was I sent a message to all 29 of my friends and then did it myself.
They just blocked you on WhatsApp. Yeah. Because in your WhatsApp picture, it's you dangling from a rock like a Fraggle. Like a translucent Fraggle.
Thank you very much. I don't even know what a Fraggle is, Danny.
Fraggle Rock.
Oh, my God. How young are you?
From the Muppets.
It's not the Muppets. Fraggle Rock was his own show.
No, Jim Henderson, yeah, from the bloke who made
Jim
the
Jim Henson, not Henderson.
Oh, he was the one in the Doors, wasn't he?
Oh, that was Jim Morrison.
Same thing. They're both related. They're both called Jim. So Josh was in 8th place. In 7th place, it's only Mr. Jason Tappy Tappy Day, which is 32 votes. So close. In, I forgot what number I was up to, 3, 4, 5. In 6th place, it's our man from the underground. It's only Carl. 33 votes, Carl. Well done.
Well done, Carl.
Round of applause. Didn't personally.
Get the black vote. What the fuck happened here? Fucking hell. I'll at least get the black vote for you lot. Outrageous. No. Seriously.
I bet Danny got the black vote.
I bet he did as well.
He stole the black vote and the disability vote.
That's it. Especially with my arthritis giving me grief. It hasn't stopped raining for 4 fucking days. My arm's almost immovable. But at least my gluten and lactose problems are all gone. So I'm on the cheese like an angry mouse. 5th place, it's already done that. It's Steve Lord Hillwood. 4th place, hold on, John. How come if you were 4th? Half hour ago, you were bottom. Well done. John's figured out the system. With 42 votes, it's John. Take a bow, John.
Thank you.
Yep, 3rd place, it's the man who has been leading it for most of the awards. But I think when people have realised he couldn't be fucked to turn up, people have changed their votes and voted for Chris. So in 3rd place, it's Chris the Pirate Carpenter with 10% of the votes, with 50 votes in total.
But as Chris is never on enough, we're moving him to the guest position.
Yeah.
So actually, me, Steve, Carl, Josh, everyone else gets bumped up on, and Chris is no longer
filled. Can Chris go into the guests? Because don't you make Chris an appearance to be then considered the guest?
I've managed to edit the best podcast guest of the season. Chris come forth with 50 votes. Just in front of Andy. So there you go, Chris. And 2nd place is me. Thank you very much, everybody. But the clear winner by 4 extra votes, Dave Goonaholic. Well done, Dave.
Well deserved.
Our voice of reason, our man of the tipple, and the man who is a world-class blogger. So that's the Goonaholic. Go and read all of his blogs. And he started including our match previews in his blogs, which has helped us get lots of lovely views. Oh, we've had a couple of in tweets. No, just people retweeting it. Very good. That's someone from French football. I think they probably voted for Lana. Followed by Rick Ross. What, the highway Rick Ross? And my brain is just talking about things I don't need to talk about at the moment. Right, so there we go. Mr. Holick is the winner. I was going to send him a little message on WhatsApp because he probably isn't listening. Oh, there you go. Dave, you've won the ABW member they love the most. If you record a quick acceptance speech, I'll play it out live. Thank you very much. Good night. There you go. I've sent Dave a message.
I just say, Danny, that from me personally, and I know I speak for Jason when I say this, Stefan Selby is absolutely our favourite listener.
Oh, we should have done listeners award. No, God, there'd be thousands then, wouldn't there? Well, I say thousands. There'd be about 30 or 40 regulars. Loki says, I was robbed. I was robbed, but they're going to win it last year. Ellis won. This is rigged from Richard Garrett. Jay saying Ellis was robbed. Oh, no. I'm going to send Lana a quick message saying, you won. You won. Lovely. Good. Right then, all we've got to do now is talk about John. Do you want to talk about how you felt the season went? Because you weren't able to join us the other night, were you?
Do you not want to tell people who won the fantasy football, or does no one really care?
Yes, we do, because there's some controversy going. Do you think the American elections were very controversial and rigged? Right. This nonsense. ABW Fantasy Premier League. This is the Premier League, the official Premier League one, and it's only for members of ABW. First place was Simon Collings. Second place was Ellis Mel, but we've had the adjudicators in, and it turns out Mr. Simon Collings, well-known journalist, he was banned because he used Spurs players. He had Harry Kane once and Son twice banned. And then Ellis, who finished in second place, he had Lucas Moura. Now, Ellis has pleaded his case and said that he only had Lucas Moura for 1 week and he didn't make him any points, but, you know, doesn't count, does it?
Doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't make, as Carl says. Carl knows. So the actual winner was Jeff Hulham from Canada with Sudsy Bubbles. Well done, Jeff. We will send you an award in the post. Second place was Josh.
Yeah. It's because I didn't use any Spurs players.
Ah, there you go, because they all bottled it.
He used all the Man City and Liverpool ones instead.
Yeah.
There's no requirement to use Arsenal players.
Yeah.
And in third place, it's only John Welsh.
I have no idea how I came third. I think I stopped looking at my team about the second week of September. So, yeah.
Right. You lot talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to listen to the message that Dave has sent me. John, talk about the season.
Okay, before I do that, I did not know Dan James has signed for Man United. What a waste. That might be a step too big, too quickly. The season, well, I didn't get to say my piece on it. I don't know, it turned out kind of as I expected. I didn't expect us to get top four. Start of the season, I think I predicted fifth. I said we had a chance for the Europa League, and to be fair, he got us all the way to the final, so that was good. The whole thing with Mesut Ozil all season was kind of ridiculous, and that needs to be resolved in this summer. I think Unai's okay, but I'm still of the opinion that he's a short-term gap and not a long-term manager. I don't think he's ever going to be a manager that would win the Premier League. I think he's fine as a steady hand. Whoever came in was going to be a really tough job, and I think unless you've got someone of, you know, Pep sort of level management, I don't think we were ever going to break top four this season with the squad we had. So disappointed, but expected, I guess. I just wanted the football to be a bit more defined. It wasn't, I never felt like there was a clear pattern of play in some of the stuff we did. The only thing I felt that came out of this season was Unai Emery really likes playing with wing-backs and using them for width, and no other players were allowed to go out wide. Is pretty much the only thing I learned about his teams. But yeah, that was kind of my thoughts on the season, to be honest. I didn't think it was too much of a surprise. I don't know if anyone else felt the same.
No, would you deem this season a success?
I'd probably say it's like par. Like, I think success would... The thing is, I think that's exactly what I expected to happen, and it did. And to be fair, getting to the final was probably a little bit better than I thought. Especially considering that we got Napoli and Valencia, you know, they're two tough teams, and thankfully we got them at the right time of the season for them, because I don't think they were performing their best. I think success would have been getting back in the Champions League. That's what you would deem as success. But I don't think many of the managers that we could have gone for, realistic targets, would have got us into the top four anyway. The problem is that you look at that sort of period of 6 weeks where we failed to take advantage of Chelsea and Tottenham cocking up their games as well, where we could have jumped into the top four and we had all those chances to, and we didn't take it. But I think if you look at the season as a like balance from start to finish, then it's kind of what I thought would happen.
So being an Italian football connoisseur, if Allegri, he's available, right? If he was available to come to Arsenal, would you take him now and then sack Emery.
Yeah, I would. But that's, again, that doesn't fix everything overnight. I'm not saying that Allegri guarantees us top four. I think we'd have a better chance with Allegri. I think he's a better manager. But the issues still come down to the squad still needs a big overhaul. The transfer structure, like, I've no idea what's going on there. There is clearly the whole not having a head of recruitment thing is obviously affecting our transfer dealings. I know it's very early on in the transfer window, but there's nothing coming out at all about Arsenal, like, going for players. There's a lot coming out about certain players of ours possibly leaving or wanting to go and stuff, but they're players that generally most of the fans would like to keep, and I personally would like to keep. It's not like we're seeing links of Mohamed Elneny leaving or, I don't know, Mustafi or, you know, Monreal. The players who are sort of surplus to the squad that we need to get off, trim the wage bill so we can invest in new talent. So it's all the wrong news at the moment. So I think even if you get in a very good manager, it's still going to be a difficult process. It's the sort of thing, I'm guessing we're in the sort of Liverpool era of when they were in the Europa League for, you know, 3-4 years or whatever. And we might have to suffer that. I say suffer that, you could be, you know, fucking West Brom fan or something, but we're a bit spoiled.
That's true. Should I, I've proof-listened the message from Mr. Hollick, and here it is, his acceptance speech. So I'm going to play it off my phone. Don't look at my phone. I fucking dropped it. Shit. Right, here we go. It's only 31 seconds long, and he's very, very... Oh, you'll listen.
Oh, Danny, that's most unexpected. Everybody, thank you ever so much. I think last year I came somewhere near the bottom, so that is a big surprise, and I don't do it for that. I think there are more deserving people. Danny, the work you put in, Jason, Josh, even Chris, even though he couldn't make it tonight. Poor bugger. How can you get seasick on land? But seriously, thank you to everybody who did take the trouble to vote for me. I'm very flattered. Cheers.
Was that nice and clear?
Always classy, Dave, isn't he?
That's why Dave won. If Chris were the one, he probably would have just gone up on stage, dropped his drawers, shown everyone his undercarriage, and then gone. And people would have gone,
French as well.
Smoother than baby's bottom. And there is one other thing I forgot to do. It is the other Premier League fantasy thing where the winner, I don't know who, we had a thing before, you had to be an Arsenal fan, and then we had a load of people that weren't Arsenal fans. Then we said, look, no Spurs players, and then loads of people doing something. I just couldn't be bothered to check it up anymore, so I don't know who these people are. First place is Vlad Ion with his team Gecko. Second place was Chrisandy Wickasano with Victory Royal. And third place was Stig Lycan Nygaard. I don't know how I can say that, with Ozilians. And equal third place, Nathan Dixon with Unreal Madrid. So there you go. So just had a tweet from Tim. And Tim says we were completely right to ban Ellis and Simon. So, I mean, if Tim says it's right, who are we to argue? Isn't that right? 172 votes. Is it all? They've had two more votes. Oh, someone's voted for Chris and now he's on level points with me. But it's all done. It's all over. Done.
Well, it doesn't matter if they vote for Chris. He's not in that section anymore.
No, he isn't. And no. Carl has overtaken Jason. Had you done that before, Carl? Were you sixth before?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Okay. Jason was saying an interesting point that he made. He'd sack Emery right away. But then I was saying that I don't think we could become a club that do that. But then, Josh, didn't you make the point of Chelsea have had like 15 different managers and had 15 trophies in that length of time?
Yes, but they've also got quite a stable platform behind the man. Well, above the manager, it's fairly stable. Also helps having an oligarch in place for a time where you could pump obscene amounts of money into a club and give it a decent foothold. But they've managed to get themselves to breeding success. And yeah, it's 15 managers and 15 trophies. Albeit some managers have been there twice as well.
And some managers have been there as caretaker manager and won trophies. I think they've done two like that. I know Benitez won the Europa League with them, didn't he?
Yeah, Di Matteo won the Champions League.
And then he's had two jobs after that and been shit at both of those. So he's never going to get a job in management again.
Hiddink won the FA Cup. It was a caretaker. Oh, twice he was a caretaker.
Yeah. Carl, do you think that's a route you'd like to see the club go down? Where a manager, these are the criteria you have to meet, and if you don't meet it, you're out the door. you think that that encourages the manager and the players and all the staff to pull their fingers out because you know you're going to get the sack?
Probably not the players. The players don't care. If they win something or don't win something, they know they'll probably still be there. I think the manager, it would definitely tempt them to think about their decisions a bit more. But no, that's not a route I want to go down. I want a steady club. I want a stable club. I think I just want... Unfortunately, money is the root of all evil, and money is also what's lacking within Arsenal. I know there's rumours about we've only got 20 million to spend or 40 million to spend or whatever, but whereas I don't want to be like Man City, because I do think it taints it a little bit, I would like our owner to put some money into the club so we can compete, so we can buy the best players. Unfortunately, at present, we don't have that, and I think it's very safe for the owner because all he wants to do is literally, you know, keep Arsenal in his pocket. He's not going to invest. I think it's well known that he's not going to invest, because if he was going to do that, he would have done it by now. And I think sacking a manager is not his style. I think Emery's got one more year left. And I think if Emery doesn't, I think if by maybe January, February, if we're maybe, I don't know, call it 10 points off the top of the league, does he go then? If we're knocked out the FA Cup in the first round or we're nowhere near in the Europa, what does he do? You know, we need a steady... We're never going to get an Arsene Wenger again. That's never going to happen. So, I think what we need to do is... I don't know, just get someone who's going to make us successful. Who, I don't know.
I think in the moment, we've got to stick rather than twist. There's so many issues above the manager at the moment. Such an unstable platform since, well, Wenger left. And how many roles did Wenger cover as manager? You know, he was head of recruitment. He was head of football. He was doing a job for scouting. He was doing Per Mertesacker's job as well with the youth side. So I think at this point, we just need to get that bit stable. You know, then we saw Gazidis leave. We saw Sven leave because he'd run out of Dortmund players for us to sign.
So and then he goes to his new place and signs.
Yeah. Yeah, so he went to Stuttgart and signed a Dortmund player. It's one of those, I think we just need to get that stable. And then that's what allows us to then, you know, we can't have everything changing. Otherwise, you never know what's working out. If you have so many variables, you need at least one of them to be consistent. And for the moment, I'd keep Emery as consistent. We need to move on the playing staff. We know that's an issue. Let's leave manager at the moment. Is the manager going to pick the right people? Well, look, he's not a manager anymore. It's not like Wenger's picking the transfers. Emery is going to get given players as much as he's going to request them. And I think from that point of view, it's just making sure that once we get a director of football in, I think we've got rumoured that Darren Burgess is set to leave the club. I saw that.
AC Milan, he was seen his pitch, his wife.
No, that's Shad Forsyth.
Oh, God.
Shad's got, Darren Burgess, the one that came from Aussie Rules.
Yeah.
Ex-Liverpool. So he's rumoured to have been sacked, and with Shad Forsyth stepping up, that's going to be an interesting one to play again, that there's still this movement since Gazidis has left. And we just need to basically be patient, I think, for the next season as well, because we are going through a big transition.
I've got a question quickly. Do you think this new model, I say it's a European model of football, works, like where the head coach is just the head coach, all they do is coach the team to win games? Or would you rather the manager, as in, this is the player that I want, let's go and get them, and I'll coach and do everything? Not the Arsene Wenger way, because Arsene Wenger did too much. But what would you rather, Josh? Would you rather...
I think the latter is unsustainable because you're putting too much on one person.
You do save money on wages, though, if you get one person to do everything. Carl, can you turn your volume up a bit?
Yeah, but we need a team to really do this. Look at, say, I know they're further down the league, but look at someone like Watford and the model they've got. They've got a stable base. They know what kind of players they want in the team. They know how they want to play. I think at Arsenal, we know how we want to play as well. Some of the managers that we're getting linked with, if you think Emery plays negative football, wait till Allegri turns up at the door. Wait till Rafa Benitez turns up at the door.
I was listening to a podcast and they said the Juventus fans hated Allegri when he first turned up.
No, of course they did. He's very negative and defensive in his style of football, and it's quite... The one thing he brought to that club is that they actually, he taught Juventus players how to pass, which is a weird thing to say when they used to have Pirlo in the team, but actually pass it on the ground and not go so vertical with the passing long balls and stuff. But I get what Josh is saying, but I don't think we have a style of play. Like, I don't know what... I know what I, as a fan, would like to see on the pitch. And I know what I think most fans probably think Arsenal's style of play is and our identity is. But Emery isn't that. And I don't think we have the players that embody that either. So I think the club's identity is changing to a degree. And also, I'm not even sure that style of football really works anymore unless you have the absolute elite level players like a Man City do. You look at Liverpool, they don't have technical players. You know, they have technically gifted players, but they don't play a technical style of football. It's high energy pressing, it's runners, and it's counter-attacking. It's not quick interchanging passing. It's only really Man City that do that. I'm not sure that's a sustainable method of playing football anymore.
Yeah, I agree with Liverpool. That midfield is shocking and has been shocking for seasons and seasons.
But they're all very good at their job that they're asked to do.
And I think that's potentially one of the things that we'll start seeing. And I think we initially saw with the kind of Emery was, you know what, we know our defence is shot to pieces, but we've got a decent forward line. And if we can sell from that forward line every so often, you know, like Liverpool did with Suarez, he got 75 million for him. Where did they reinvest it? Well, they didn't buy a new striker with that kind of money. They went and bought, you know, Salah was that money.
Yeah,
from him, Sterling going as well. They all reinvested it in and slowly built that defence up. And we're going to have to do something similar if it's, you know, an Aubameyang or a Lacazette. You know, Coutinho, they sell Coutinho. They don't replace him like for like. They go out and buy Van Dijk and Alisson.
And now for Coutinho, don't they?
For that £120 million, we're going to have to sell in order to rebuild this club. But I think initially, we can do that with the amount of, I wouldn't call it deadwood, because that might be harsh on deadwood, but the number of players we've got that need to leave the club.
We've had this for years and years, the Coquelin days.
Yeah, we've slowly cleared them out.
I think there is a certain aspect of this that we have to accept that we're not a team that's challenging for the title and haven't been for some time. The season Leicester won the league was kind of, you know, was a freak for them. And to be fair, us or Spurs should have won it. And we both threw it away. And it was only because United, City, Chelsea, you know, everyone else just couldn't be bothered, apparently. They just weren't interested in that season for one reason or another. But we haven't been a top one or two club for a long time. We've been trending downwards. So the level of players we've got, the whole they're not Arsenal players thing is kind of, it's like disinformation in a sense, because they are Arsenal level players, because that is the level we're at.
That's our new level.
Well, I mean, it's true though, you know, each level of football you're at, there's a ceiling, and you know, we are lucky that we've got Aubameyang, we've got Lacazette, we did have Ramsey. You know, there are a few players who are perhaps above that level or where we're actually sitting in terms of football at the moment. The rest of our squad is either at that level or below it. So you have to, it's like Jason always says, you have to raise the base level up. And I don't think there's enough in terms of like our squad players like Elneny and players like that that are at the level that we're even playing at as a club. So they need to be improved on. But I do agree with what Josh said earlier about the whole management thing. As much as I want Emery gone, it would be risky to get rid of him just because everything that's above him is such a mess at the moment. Like I don't know who's running the club. I know Raul and Vinny come out and say all those things. They make them nice quotes and stuff. But I've got no idea who's really running the recruitment and the transfers, who has say in what, and who's going to, you know, tick the box on payments and stuff. And I get people's anger towards Kroenke, but it's his first season in charge of the club, really, you know, having 100%. You've got to give him time and see what he does. We don't know if he's taking money out of the club or not. We've got no idea. He might actually just be leaving it to
someone. No one's ever going to know. And living in the state of, I think it's Delaware in America, even there, that state, you don't have to release any tax information.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a question in the chat, what makes Arsenal immune from becoming a Newcastle Everton, seeing how we'll run? Nothing. If Kroenke wants the club to go in that direction, obviously he can take it in that direction. But he can also quite easily, just like his other sporting franchises, just say, I'll let the club run itself. and you self-sustain, and that's the model you do. And Chelsea, although they obviously started off with a big, big, big investment, they've gone to a self-sustaining model. They do it in a weird way with all their youth transfer policies.
He's written off all the debt they owe him, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. But
I think he might be holding it over them.
He's also not allowed to trade or work in the UK. So that's certainly holding him back at the moment.
That's certainly holding him back. But for the last couple of years, Chelsea have been going, making their money as a football club from commercial deals and from selling players and reinvesting it and loaning out youth players. Now, it's bit them in the arse because of the youth thing, because they're going to get they've got that transfer ban. But that's something that Arsenal need to do and they need to look at. And we need to get all our money from that kind of investment and doing that at the club.
But do you think we've kind of missed the boat a little bit where Man City, okay, they're run by a country, so we're going to compete with them, and that's fine, and I get that. But someone like Liverpool, who were behind us, they were very far behind us, and now
they're very smartly run.
They're surpassed us now. Chelsea are always going to be there or thereabouts, even with a transfer ban. I still think Chelsea would be okay, because if you got 30-odd youth team players, I'm sure there must be at least one or two gems in there if you give them a chance. So I think personally this season they'll be okay. That lot from up the road, they're going to invest. You don't get to the Champions League final. I mean, I know they're going to be crippled by funds with their new stadium, but the fact of getting to the Champions League final, they're going to have a heavy investment and they're going to want to try and do it again, whether they can or not. I very much doubt it. And Man United, they've already started spending, and they are going to spend, whether they back Solskjaer, I don't know, but they're going to spend tons of money. So do you think this, and I asked a question to, I remember Jeff on the final pod of the season, do you think that now we need to start looking behind us at the Evertons and the Watfords and the Wolves rather than looking forward at the Chelseas and the Man Cities and Liverpools?
I think in terms of the transfer market, yes, because those are the kinds of players that Wolves have kind of, like Neves at Wolves. Would he walk into our team? Easily. Would he be a backup striker for us? Maybe a first choice? If we sold one of Lacazette or Aubameyang, would I take Jimenez as a second choice striker? Definitely. And then look at Everton. They brought in Andre Gomez. Is he the kind of player that we should look at? £20 million from Barcelona. And he looked okay, pretty decent. If we're going to have three in midfield, the kind of player we should be looking at. Again, Yerry Mina as a centre-back. Okay, he's looked a little bit dodgy, but he was, that £20 million from Barcelona, 6'6". He's built for the Premier League in that regard. That's in terms of where we think we should be looking at them. We're not going to be able to go out and spend, you know, £60 million on Naby Keita or...
I don't understand why fans all of a sudden are clamouring for, you know, saying, oh, it's such a shame we can't go and get Mbappe and players like this. We've never, as a club, ever been big spenders. We've never spent loads of money. We've never, ever gone out and bought the biggest name players in the world at all at any point. When we signed Bergkamp, we got him at a fee that was... It was ridiculous, the price we managed to get him at, because basically he hated Italy. We didn't hate Italy, he just didn't like Inter and the way sort of they played football, and Inter weren't particularly happy with him in the league. So we got him at a good price. But we've never paid top dollar for players, ever. The two players that we've got that we've spent big money on was Alexis, which I think was worth every penny because the things he managed to give to us whilst he was at the club, and Mesut Ozil. They're the two players. That's it. That's the only time we've ever done it. And it's only because of the big TV deals.
We've got the two strikers as well, of course. I think even Aubameyang, we got him on a downward trend.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think if you look at what you would pay for a top-tier striker, even at the age he was, and even though he was on a downtick, he'd still cost more than that.
What did Jovetic go for? 60 million? Wasn't it this window?
Something like that, yeah. From a tiny, tiny, tiny German club who are desperate for money. Well, not desperate for money, but anything they're going to give. Yeah, it's Real Madrid. You're never going to turn them down. That's pittance. You know, for what is that kid? Is Jovetic, what is he, 21?
21, like yeah. Benfica are definitely really annoyed they wrote that clause into his contract.
Yeah.
What clause is that?
He was on loan at Frankfurt and they only had to pay something ridiculous like £12 million for him and then bumped him straight off to Real Madrid for £60
million. I saw today that when I read that he'd gone, he'd scored 17 Bundesliga goals, which is pretty good.
Yeah. So I just think the whole thing with Sven going looked bad. We don't know who's doing the transfers. I'm not Emery's biggest fan. If Allegri or whoever became available, yes, I would take them. But I do agree with Josh that it doesn't help what's above.
But we're going struggle to bring in decent managers. We're going to come to some questions in a minute, Carl, so you can read those out. When the first time in, I can't remember, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Juventus, Roma, all want new managers. So those four clubs, well, three of those four clubs, would probably manager to pick those above coming to Arsenal, wouldn't they?
This is the only thing I disagree with. Like, I love Italy. Yes, you go to Juve. Of course you would. It's huge. You've got Champions League football. You're going to win the league, most likely. You're an idiot if you don't win the league, essentially, at that club with the players they've got. And you've got a real, genuine chance of winning the Champions League. The rest of the clubs in Italy, not really, realistically, you won't have a lot of money. Yes, they are big names and they're still very, very big clubs. I love Inter and they're massive, but they're not what they were. The Premier League has got so much money. It's the prestige league to go and be a manager in. It's the one every single manager wants to be a manager in that league. And it doesn't matter what club it is, you will take a job in the Premier League. It's just like the players all want to play in the Premier League as well. They'll go and they'll play for, you know, Borough or whoever to get noticed, so they get a bump up. They'll go and play for Brighton. Doesn't matter what the club is, they'll go and do those things. So I don't think it's necessarily going to struggle to get a manager, but you may struggle to get the managers, you know, the big, big names that perhaps we would have been able to get in the past. Nowadays, you know, they might be out of our reach, but that's more because of where we are as a club at the moment.
I agree with that. Yeah, historically, Arsenal were a big club. Now, we're not. If you come in, no matter who the manager comes to Arsenal, with the players we've got, you're going to be battling for 4th, 5th, 6th, aren't we?
Yeah, we've fallen so far behind where it's going to take us. I think Man City are kind of gone clear. Liverpool gave them a very good run this season, but Man City are just a sort of club who can afford any single player in the whole entire world. It doesn't matter who it is, and it all depends on whether that player wants to actually go to Man City, because any club will accept a bid for Man City. Look on someone like Mahrez. Mahrez done sweet FA this season, sat on the bench, and he went for 60 million. Man City can afford to pay 60 million for a player who they don't really need. And that just goes to show you the spending power of them. If we spend £60 million on a player, which we did with Aubameyang, oh, we're going to run him to the ground. We're going to play him nearly every game because that's the sort of...
He played more minutes than any other player for us this season, Aubameyang.
Just goes to show you, we spend that money, we're going to play it. But, and this is why I think I want to echo what John said. We've got so many players on high wages who we need to ship out. You know, Mesut Ozil, he's won £350,000 a week or whatever it's rumoured to be. That's at least two other players that we could buy or at least bring in and pay them those sort of wages. And Emre's not going to play someone like Ozil, and he has a problem with him. And I think the end of the Europa League final kind of said a lot to me, you know, bringing on the youngster for him. He's got to be out, right? But again, who's going to take him? Who's going to take Mesut Ozil on those sort of wages?
The only thing we need to add on those wages, and we should heavily caveat it, is the fact that 50% of that is his image rights.
Yeah, cool. Now, don't we?
We own Mesut Ozil's image rights. So in theory, if we shipped him out on loan and we only asked, say, Inter, who he was linked with, to pay 50% of that, in fact, that other 50% doesn't cost us anything, because in theory, that's Mesut Ozil's image rights, and he should be generating the club at least that money.
So we'll start selling Inter shirts in the Arsenal shop.
Yeah.
Try and get some money.
Yeah.
His name is Gareth Bale, though, isn't he? He's on £600,000 a week at Real Madrid, and they're saying that they're going to pay more than £400,000 of his wages if someone will loan him for a season for £10 million. So maybe we're going to have to look at that kind of deal, because when Real Madrid want to get rid of you, you're going. There's very few players that have done a Winston Bogard at Real Madrid, is there? They're one way or another, by hook or by crook, you're out of the club.
Just slightly off topic, has anyone noticed that Chris is suddenly shot up in the votes on the website?
What's he done? How many is he up to?
He may have got 999 votes. So I think what that's made pretty clear is that Chris should no longer be allowed to be in any ABW vote. Because he clearly tries to fix it.
That's why he's not here. He's worn his digits to the nub. We're constantly voting. 999. Sorry, David. The award's no longer yours. Oh, that's genius. Oh, well. Ended it on a happy note. Carl, would you like to go through the questions that our wonderful listeners have chucked us?
Yes, why not? I saw that they put some in there, so I thought it'd be only rude if we didn't ask some. So the first question is from Loki73. Should the club lower season ticket prices to match our new expectations?
I think give them away.
Should they lower them? I think anyway. I don't think to match our expectations. I think they should be lower. It's come around to one of those times of years that kind of annoys me, when especially seeing people putting the season ticket up for rental. I think that's my biggest bugbear, is that kind of thing occurring at the club. You know, it's a bit like sitting on the fence. You're like, am I going to go? Am I not going to go? I've got my season ticket. You know, there's people that are waiting. You know, I'm on the season ticket waiting list, but people can jump above me because someone that's already got a ticket can rent it out to somebody who might not even be on the list. And it's that kind of stuff that I'm more irritated about. In terms of how much the club makes out of ticket prices compared to other things, it's an absolutely tiny amount. I think we can go back to saying with like the Bayern Munich model, is the fact that Bayern said, well, they make what, 3 million or could make 3 or 4 million like we do at ticket sales. But if they just dropped it down to say 20 quid a ticket and only made 1 million from it, well, we're probably going to find 2 or 3 million from somewhere else. I mean, we could sell a couple of youth players and make that kind of money back. So it's not really something it's not something the club should really be worried about. It's not a huge revenue source. So yeah, I would see it drop. I think Man City season ticket isn't too expensive. But just as a comparison, to go to Brighton, it's 600-700 quid for a season ticket. So it's just the going rate of football now is just too high, and it's across the board. And it's what you can get away with. We are only the second highest, or maybe third now, with Spurs' new stadium.
Have you seen Real Madrid have bought another player today?
Fernand Mendy.
What do you know about him, John?
I know Lana's very upset that he's gone to Real Madrid, and that he is better than Benjamin Mendy, is what she told me. And I will definitely take Lana's word for it because she knows her stuff. I did see him play. Who did Leon play? Was it Barca they had in their group or in the knockout stage? I can't remember. Definitely saw him play against them. And he was pretty impressive considering he'd just come back from injury. So good signing.
Just reading here, someone has an article in, never mind who they are, never heard of them. Eden has 100 million, Jovic 60, Miliato 50, Rodrigo 45, Lunin 9, along with Barim Brahim, who they bought for 17 million in January, 331 million euros. Wow. Do you think the day would ever come where Arsenal will spend that?
Only if London write the debt off for us.
They've still got players to sell as well. So, and they obviously also made a fuck ton of money the whole time Ronaldo was there, and managed to sell a player who was God whatever age he was to Juventus.
32 for 100 million.
Yeah,
more than that. He's 34. Ronaldo.
Yeah. Their training ground to be sold any day now to pay for all of that. Go on then, Carl, another question.
This is from Richard Gart. Burkhard Wonderland, could you discuss if homegrown talent is important, bearing in mind top three have their fair share? John, I raised this a while ago that I think we need to buy at least one English player because of our homegrown talent is kind of gone. So we've got no Welbeck, no Ramsey, and that's two gone. Jack went last season. So do you think now our homegrown quota needs to be looked at, or do you think we're going to sort of put a lot of the youth players in to bring up that quota?
I think a few of the players might get promoted. I could see Joe Willock being promoted. I know he was, you know, in the squad and made a few appearances, but he looked decent, looked good when he came on in the final as well, to be fair. I do hope that our youth development continues the way it's going. The trend seems to be going in the right direction. Willock's looked really good. I know people aren't the biggest fan of Iwobi, but he's sort of the oldest lot out of that bunch, a couple of years ahead of the others. Maitland-Niles thinks good. You know, Reece Nelson had a good start to his loan out, but obviously faded a little. I think he'll probably need another loan. You've got Eddie, who I still think shows some promise. Smith Rowe, Saka, who there's a lot talked about. So the one thing at the club that I think is actually good at the moment and looks like it's going the right way is the youth development. And I think a lot of that is down to Per Mertesacker and the direction he's taking it. And all I ever hear or read about is really, really good things about Per and the way he gets the kids to act. The whole thing of being at Arsenal, teaching them about the history of the club, what it means to be an Arsenal player. So I do think that's really important. And it's, again, it goes back to us. We don't have as much money, so promoting from within is a really good thing. It does save you money. If the players don't quite make it, as Josh has already said, you can sell those players on to bring some money back in for the investment you've put into them. I think that's fine, especially if you've loaned them out to, say, a Premier League or a Championship club. They've done really well, but they're not quite the level you want them to be at because they're British or they're at least qualify as homegrown. Selling them to a Premier League club lower down the table, you get good money for that because we know how much there is for, you know, the sort of the English quota, which essentially now you can kind of just, you don't even have to call it anymore. It's the, do you qualify as homegrown? That's all we care about. That means we can stick an extra 10 million on your price tag because everyone's got to hit those numbers. So I think it's a good avenue to go down and I hope we see more young players come through. And I would like to see the club buy more Premier League proven players. You know, whether it's from teams around us or from lower down the league, whether they're English, whatever, I don't really care. If they meet the homegrown quota rule, then that's fine with me. But I think we do need to bring in more Premier League proven that are just ready to go straight into the squad because we need a few of them in the team.
The only thing we need to add on homegrown is to count, you've got to be over 21. You could have many 19-year-olds as you want. And we don't. Unfortunately, the generation that John went through are all 19, 20. Eddie is 21. Iwobi's 22. It's then Martinez, Holding, Chambers. And that's it. Oh, Hector as well. They're the only ones that qualify as homegrown. Now, we should say with the top three having their fair share, Man City actually don't. Man City had to take a cut in the Champions League. They had one less squad place.
Which one? Europa League, didn't we? That's why we couldn't have Mavropanos.
So we took a hit on it.
We've had a donation, Josh, from Petito100. Sent us two of your USAdian dollars. He says, when Hazard went to Real, I said, thank God. I think we can all agree with that. That's one less player who's going to score goals against us.
I wish he'd gone before the Europa League final.
It would have been lovely if he did. in the awards for guest of the season, and he will probably be joining us for one of the transfer deadline day shows that we do. He joins us every year. Thank you very much for that, mate. So that thing is because we all expected Jenkinson to be released, didn't we, with a load of other players that were released, and he wasn't released. And I think that is just because he's English and he can cover right back, right wing back, he can probably play center back, he can play a lot of different positions. And although he isn't going to be playing many games like he did this season, but somebody made a really good point on the show that we did on Monday that people slagging off Jenkinson and Elneny. Well, when you haven't played them all season and then you get them, give them a game, go, go on, then out you go, play a game, because they're not playing for the under-21s and they're not playing for the under-23s because, the under-21s would be playing in the Champions League, wouldn't they? Yeah, so it's the under-23s. Wouldn't be playing for those. And also another good point, the progression of Eddie Nketiah's career, that's hit a roadblock because he's been a substitute for the entire season because Welbeck's been out injured. Yeah. And so all these things have got to come into consideration as well. And we really do need to get some players. But I like the point that you said, John. We've been linked with Carrasco and all that lot. Ryan Fraser. These British players don't go abroad. Hardly ever do they go abroad. Mm-hmm. That's the other. You may pay 10 million more, but they're not going to go abroad. You're going to have them in for the rest of their career if you want them, if you treat them.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Ryan Fraser is the answer or that he's a better footballer than Carrasco, but if you ask me who I would rather sign, it would be him, and I would do it purely on the basis that Carrasco went to go and play in China, so he's only interested in money.
Yeah, someone sent me a few tweets about that because he had to go. Athletic Cambridge had to sell him.
He had to go. He could have said no.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He didn't have to say, oh, yeah, I'll go to China. He didn't have to go, oh, well, I'll take all this money. You know, he could have said no. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think there's more players in the Premier League that you can go and get, whether it's a Ryan Fraser or whoever. You know, there's players there to buy that would improve our squad.
Tierney.
Right, yeah, I was watching a video that Tom did about that, explaining just how magnificent he is and how much area he covers. And I know you're playing in the league where most of the teams are Championship or League One quality, but the player is something else, isn't he?
Yeah.
25 million.
Celtic need to sell. The only worry is if anybody else comes in for him. I think Lyon were linked to him for a replacement for Mendy.
Juventus as well.
But yeah, if they don't make Champions League, they have to sell. It's perfect just to swoop in. We'll probably leave that late as well.
Just quickly, I have a question before Carl carries on and does the rest of them. If we were to get rid of Emery and replace him, would any of you take Brendan Rodgers?
Absolutely not. I can't stand him. No twat of his shitty envelope tricks like a shit Paul Daniels.
Oh dear. Well, there you go. There's Danny's answer. Carl?
No. John, you and I could go to Scotland and have an unbeaten season up there.
I had an unbeaten season in Scotland doing this podcast. That's how easy it is.
Yeah, I don't think Scottish football is no way to judge how good a manager is. Not in the slightest, sorry, not at all. So, no, I wouldn't take him.
Josh?
No, not at all. The treble means nothing. He's at Leicester for a reason. He's no bigger than that, and shouldn't be anywhere near us. David Brent, tranny fucking cunt.
Wow.
Ooh. Well,
and that's the bottom line.
Because Ginger Boy said so. Personality aside, I would actually take him, but there you go. Anyway, go on, Carl, carry on.
Right, I'll wrap up his question, Carl. Yeah, I'll wrap up his quickly.
Then I'm going to get Lana into the call.
All right. I'm going to Danny the fuck out of this name.
Do you want to speak about Michael Hanneman first in the chat box?
I'm sending a message. Has he given us money?
Yes.
Oh, you cheeky monkey. I'm not even sending him his bloody book yet. Go on, and you do it. I'm typing a message.
Okay, I thought Carl was going to do it, but yeah, Michael Hanneman has given us £5 and said his local team, Stevenage, have just become the only team to go all digital with their match programmes. How often do you think that will become the norm? It's an interesting question, that. John, what do you reckon?
I don't know.
I don't think it will, because I think clubs do make a lot of money off, you know, the one match day experience, you know, these people that turn up for the actual physical match program in their hand.
Mm.
I don't think people are going to go on their phone and download it and think, oh, look, I was at this game and I paid £2 for it. That's not going to happen. So I don't think that's going to last.
I think for the sort of the fan that goes every week who maybe has a season ticket, they might get it just for convenience sake, so they can look through and everything and read, you know, the manager's message or whatever. But I think, like Carl said, especially for a club like Arsenal, because it's in London, you do get a lot of tourists, you'll get kids go with their parents or whatever for things like the Emirates Cup and stuff like that. And it's like a souvenir, it's a memory thing. And that's no disrespect to Stevenage, but I think the people who generally are going to go to Stevenage games are actual fans of the club and less likely to care about the memory thing because they go every week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the likelihood of you being able to sell out your programs, basically, versus the number you have to produce to make it viable makes complete sense. But, Carl, I think I've given you enough time now to work up for getting this name.
I must have made a really good point. Pat Brady has put, when Rodgers was at Liverpool, they lost a league because they couldn't defend, not what we need.
To be fair, they lost the league because Gerrard fell over, you know. But
she fell over.
Good times. Good times.
Oh, well done, Palace.
Slippy G.
I'm going to do this quickly. I just want, like, literally, don't carpenter the fuck out of this question, please, you lot. Michael Hanneman, since he donated to us, I'll ask the question quickly. What sort of impact do you think the Europa League final loss will have on us as a club? So, John, do you think it's going to have a negative impact on us, or do you think it will spur us on for next season?
I don't think it'll have a massive impact. A few of the players who maybe been there a while, the younger ones, it might affect them a bit who played in it. But Sadly, we're used to losing European finals, so I don't think it'll have a massive effect.
True. Josh, what kind of impact do you think it's going to have on us?
Yeah, I think the experience for the young players actually going to a final, I think that'll be a good experience for them. I think some of the more celebrated pros, like the Aubameyangs, the Lacazettes, I think that'll be extra motivation for them. Because again, the players that want to kind of go forward in their career will definitely see it as motivation. I think those that are just almost picking up the paycheck kind of players, less bothered about or coming to the end of their career, of course it will hurt them. But looking at someone like a Monreal who's 30, coming up to 34, is he going to be spurred on for next season? Because the losses, he's not going to be affected by it. I think we'd see a similar kind of level to his kind of game. Same goes for most of the centre-backs, to be honest.
And Daniel, are you worried about the mentality of losing the final?
No, it's just same old Arsenal, always fucking shit up. That's three finals in a row we lost. Then we won against Parma. We fluked that. We lost on penalties against Valencia. And then we won back in 1969-70. It's what Arsenal do. We bottle it when we get there. And the manager's gone. Loads of the players have gone. We still bottle it. But then again, when you're coming up against £100 million Hazard and the world's most expensive goalkeeper and you're playing against Kante and... what's his name, John? Jorginho. Yeah, when you're playing against those two in the centre of midfield and you're asking Ozil to play against those two, what else do you expect? I think most people, if they'd have said to the players, put your wages on who you think is going to win, I think very few of them would have put it on Arsenal. What do you think, Carl?
Very true. I hope it's not going to have a negative effect. I really do hope that next season it will spur us on. You know, we've lost a final, so we need to go on and play better and win it. And hopefully, if we add better players, then we'll go on and do something much more better. Okay, I'm going to do Priyish Kapoor, I want to say. He says he's happy with Spurs losing the Champions League final. They did not collapse after conceding the first minute. Whereas AFC concede one goal. Oh, Danny. Concede one goal.
I just sent a message saying I'm just sending Lana the link.
Concede one goal and the whole team collapses. We have seen many games where Spurs are losing and come from behind to win. Any thoughts? As much as I like that question, this is not a Spurs podcast. I think what he's trying to get at is the mentality of the club. Why is it that they can come from behind and win and we can't? I'll just say it's because the mentality in the players. If you have a belief where no matter if you're 1-0 down, you've still got a chance of winning, that's always going to spur you well. Do you remember Man United used to do that for years? Man United used to go 1-0 down and you think, oh yeah, they're going to win. And then they'll come back and win the game like 2-1 all the time. But that's just a belief and a mentality. If you have that in your squad, when you can think, no, you know what? I'm not even worrying. If we could be 70th minute and we're still 1-0 down, but Man United always had that belief where we was going to score, and other teams do that. Whereas us, we just have a very weak mentality within the squad. Sometimes we don't have the belief. Though we have the players and the ability, I think it's more that. Does anyone else got any thoughts on that? Or
I think it sort of links into the whole thing we've heard about the club being all comfortable and very nice and friendly atmosphere and stuff. And those things are nice. They're a nice thing to have, but there's no tension. And I think in any sort of sport to compete, you know, regardless of what level you're at, you have to have some form of tension and adversity. And there just hasn't been at Arsenal for such a long time. The culture's wrong. And Emery spoke about wanting to make things, I think he said nasty, but you know, it's not exactly what he means. It's just obviously his translation, the way it comes across. But trying to create that atmosphere where there's actual competition for places, there are consequences for losses. It does mean something if you don't win trophies, that kind of thing. I'm not saying the players don't feel that, but I think they've been so sort of mollycoddle for a while that you get that weakness mentality in your head and it will affect you on the pitch.
I mean, we did see it a little this season. I mean, we only kept 10 clean sheets. We still won games.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. We did. Yeah. There was not in every game, and obviously there were some really bad games, but there were a few good ones. But there were times when we did fight back where in previous seasons we wouldn't have even got a draw, you know, and we came back to win some of those games. But there was still too many of those occasions where we did just completely collapse. And to be fair, it was generally against the better teams where I think the players just knew they were defeated. That's where you get upset. But I think it's a thing of if one player feels it, it sort of translates throughout the whole team if one player's head drops. Whereas in other clubs, you maybe see if Chelsea aren't quite performing and Hazard finally picks the ball up and does something with it and whatever, I think it spurs the others on. And we don't really have that. Like, we have players who try and do that, but none of the rest of the team really take inspiration from it. In the way that Iwobi came on in the final and tried to make something happen, and, you know, when he scored the goal so quickly, the rest of the team didn't respond to it. And at other clubs, the difference would be that that goal would have got a response out of the team.
Especially if you're sold to a system as well.
Yeah.
The argument with, well, the example of Spurs, they're a system. And it's a case of faith in the system, faith in the manager. You know, this is a squad that hasn't had a new manager under it for, well, the player that's been there the longest was Ramsey, and what, he's been there for 10 seasons. So they've never known another manager in or a different change of system. So it's that thing that comes in first, that mentality is there at the club. Plus, as you say, John, one person has got to not press his man as quickly as he was 10 minutes ago, and the whole system collapses.
Yeah.
No, if you do that at Spurs or you do that at Liverpool, especially City is probably the best one to do. You know, when Sane wasn't tracking his man, what did Pep do? Sorry, mate, you're off. Don't care.
Yeah. No, I don't care who you are. You're out of the team. Yeah,
you're off.
And everyone's going, how are you not playing Sane, one of the best players in the league? He's not doing his job. Yeah. And I think that you look at Spurs, there are consequences. And we saw that at times this season at Arsenal with Emery doing it to Ozil. But it was only Ozil. And I think when you look at the rest of the squad, if he had no one else to go to, he could almost kind of afford to drop Ozil because he could change things around. But he couldn't really afford to drop Lacazette or Aubameyang if they, you know, had a shitter, because what are you going to do? Chuck on Eddie and Ketia. Yeah. It's, you know, there's no depth there and there's no possibility to rotate. Same with the midfield, the defence to a certain extent as well.
Yeah, we saw it with like trying to pull Torreira out, and Guendouzi got taken out a little bit for not doing the jobs. But as you say, you're going back to either Ramsey's injured or it's Elneny, and we obviously didn't utilise him enough to really have that. And then you've got Xhaka, and yeah, it's that kind of problem. We didn't really have that depth across the rest of the side. And I think that's what Emery tried to do with bringing in Denis Suarez, was put another body in that front, kind of, well, that midfield, basically, to go and say, right, if you're not doing a job, at least have somebody who can come in. Just turned out that a little bit like Kallstrom, he turned up with an injury.
Yeah.
But as I go to the fact what John said, everything's just a bit too comfortable at Arsenal. Everything's just a bit too nice. Like, there must be certain players in the squad who must know that they're safe. Like I said, obviously, he had his problems or his issues with Arsene Wenger, was taking him off with the 60th minute. But he knows now that he's comfortable. He's going to play the whole game, same as Aubameyang. They're kind of comfortable. They know. And do you think he kind of tried to make an example of Ozil to say, look, I don't care if you are the star player, I will try and I will bring you out if you're not doing your job. However, because of the injuries that we had, he couldn't do that to maybe some of the players that he wanted to.
Yeah. I think that Ozil was the big, easy target. Kind of, in a sense, easy target to go for. But he was still bold to make that decision. You know, Wenger's closest he came to it was benching him away at Liverpool when he didn't really play away games anyway, and he still brought him on. You know, so Emery took it that step further for quite a few games.
I think there's players like Kolasinac you'd want to bring out occasionally, but Monreal was injured. We couldn't do it.
Option at right back at all.
Maitland-Niles was a case of like, oh, we know you're doing badly, but you didn't do as badly as Jenkinson, or didn't do as badly as Lischteiner. And then centre backs, it's the same kind of issue. We were just missing good quality depth. As you said, John, that, you know, you've got to raise that bottom bar up a level. And I think what we saw from the young players when they've come in, yeah, we might be able to put in that kind of hunger and say to like a Joe Willock, you know what? Here's your chance now to come in. We've dropped even Guendouzi because he's not done his part, you go in. And to be honest, that's the same kind of risk of playing Guendouzi and playing Joe Willock in my mind. Similar age, you know, one's had more games in the Premier League this year. But I think in general, I think we could see them easily rotate next season.
I think it's all a matter of looking at it in, with perspective, that if Emery would have had a fully fit squad for the entire season, we wouldn't be in the situation we are now. But then you look at what happened to Spurs. They lost Harry Kane, and then you got Son stepped up and did the job perfectly. In fact, sometimes better than him, because he's quicker, he's more mobile. And when Man City had Aguero out, they had Jesus come in. And when they had De Bruyne, one of their best players, out, they had Gundogan come in. And they got that young bloke as well. That young Englishman coming in. So I think it's all a matter of how you look at it. Oh, look, we've got someone joined us. It's Lana.
Hi.
Are you right?
Sorry, my hair is a mess. I've been running. Yeah, I'm fine.
You've been running. How are you guys? That's something I've done for a long time. So, officially, ladies and gentlewomen listening, we have the 2018-19 ABW Best Guest winner. It's Lana. So if you've got an acceptance speech or anything like that, or anyone you'd like to thank...
No, really.
No?
Thanks for whoever voted for me, I suppose. I didn't even know that, I was in the running. I think.
Well, I'm just going to do a refresh on the page. You got 106 votes, and Richard in second place got 77 votes. So you got 29 more votes than anyone
Thank
else.
You.
That is amazing.
Do I finally get a T-shirt?
Have you not got a T-shirt at all?
Oh, no. Jason. That's Jason's
it's fault. Josh's fault. I think it's because Josh hates me. That's why.
Yes, well, if you leave it to me, we will get you one. We're doing a new range of them, actually. I've designed a new one. So there's podcast ones and there's ABW live ones. And as a winner, I think we can afford to send you one of each. So I'll message you later and find out which size you want. Unless you want a 4X, a 5XL that doesn't fit me, then someone else can have that. I can't fit myself into one, but I doubt you. That's probably 10 times
I can sew it in.
No, you're 10 times too big. Cole, we've got Lana here, the winner. Oh, Cole's turned his light on. Hello.
Right. I've got a question for Lana, because we were talking about, before you got on, Lana, we had a few listeners' questions. We're not going to stay on too long, but very quickly, there's a rumour, I'd be very surprised if it's true, but Allegri is back in talks possibly with Arsenal to take over from Unai Emery. What kind of football could Arsenal be expecting to play if Allegri comes?
Well, defensive football, not so very attractive football. But it wins you trophies, so I don't understand why people complain. I loved Allegri, so I was a huge fan. I was really sad to see him go, especially considering who's replacing him. But it's not Guardiola, that's for sure.
But could he win us trophies as Arsenal manager against the teams that we're playing against and with the squad that he's got? Wouldn't that be a bit pointless? Because I don't think he'd do it.
Me neither. You have Mustafi and Ozil. No offense to Ozil fans. I hate Ozil.
I hate him too. Oh, so have we got any more questions, Carl, that we could give to Lana as she's the our star guest?
Question for Lana. What is your expectations for next season?
For Juventus or Arsenal?
For Arsenal.
My biggest hope, more than expectations, because I've been let down too many times, is that you get Mesut Ozil off the books. I think that's like the biggest thing Arsenal could do, is get him off and then go sign Fekir. He's only available for 30 million. I mean, surely you have that money to spend.
Imagine Fekir playing behind Lacazette. Oh my God.
I think Chris would have an orgasm.
Chris would need to be sedated.
Chris gets an orgasm watching Coquelin play. So, I mean, his expectations aren't that high.
I was going to say, if we get Fekir, Chris might turn up for shows and stuff. He might appear.
That would be a thing indeed. We were talking earlier about Real Madrid and all the players they're buying. And,
please don't mention
they've bought
please.
One today. That's not going to make you very happy being a Lyon fan, is it?
No. It's actually only the second Lyon player to go there after Benzema. But it's good money. You can't turn down 48 million euros. So I'm happy for him. He's the best left back in Europe, so it's only expected.
And do you have any thoughts on the French league being sponsored by Uber Eats?
I like Uber Eats. They bring me my food, so, you know. And we got to have food, so no disrespect to the Farmers League. Only I get to joke about that.
Oh, good. Any other questions, Carl?
Is it your birthday?
Oh, no, it's Sean's birthday 2 weeks ago, and I can't reach it to take him down.
Haven't you heard about, you know, you can just put like a knife on a stick and
That's exactly what I said, yeah.
I'm not allowed knives, not since the situation that last happened.
We think alike. Smart people do that.
Carl, any more questions for Lana?
Last one is from Richard Garrett. Again, is there a worse club than us that's had bad transfers within the last 10 years? So is there any other club that's had as bad transfer as us? Record. Yeah, within the last 10 years.
Fulham.
PSG.
PSG.
I mean, when you're lacking a midfield, a proper defense, you don't go and splash your money on Neymar and Kylian Mbappe. You use the money and, you know, invest it wisely, which not many clubs do. So can't blame them for being dumb.
Man United's transfers, they haven't been good. And I mean, they finished below us and they bought Pogba.
Thank you so much for that money, by the way, United. Yeah.
Use that to buy, Ronaldo?
Yeah.
No.
I think there's some...
At least we won the league.
This is true.
Yeah, they did win the league. Mm. I mean, we kind of did what PSG did in that we bought Lacazette and Aubameyang and forgot that we don't have...
Are my boy?
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but... We didn't buy a defense to go with it. So
it's like having all pudding and no potatoes.
You bought the World Cup winner in Mustafi, so I mean.
Oh, good.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, if we go back to the full 10 years, it was the Wenger years of, oh, I need a defender. Well, buy me a diminutive playmaker, and that will solve the issue. Or I need a holding midfielder. Santi Cazorla, he'll do another diminutive playmaker.
To be fair, you could have purchased Longley for 11 million when he went from Nancy to Sevilla, Atletico Madrid, one of those teams, somewhere in Spain, before he went to Barcelona.
And so, he's better than Umtiti, so yeah, we should really have got him.
Yeah, Umtiti was available for 25.
Is his knee fixed now? Can we get Umtiti? Because he's got a bromance with Lacazette, hasn't he?
Yeah, they do. They're best friends.
See, we could get Fekir and Umtiti, and we could just have Leon's old spine, yeah?
Yeah, the only one missing is Tolisso.
I'd rather get Ndombele.
They're not even the same type of player.
And you
You don't have 110 million to spend on Ndombele, so, you know, keep your expectations down.
You can have Ozil when we'll have Ndombele.
No, thank you. I'd rather keep Memphis Depay and Traoré. Because at least they show up more than 3 times a season. And they actually play away games.
Well, there you go.
Oh, God. Lana, what's been the reaction to Juventus signing Ramsey? Are they happy in Turin to sign him?
They seem... Well, most of the Juve fans I follow seem pretty excited about him. They like him. They think he's a really good player. Will fit in well in the midfield. Obviously, he's not the big signing that we're waiting for. Personally, I am waiting for Ndombele, but, you need to have a big signing, which I think Juve will get once they announce Sarri this week or next week.
Do you think he'll start for Juventus?
If Sami Khedira can get starting time, so can Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, gosh.
Are they not worried about his injuries?
Again, if Sami Khedira can start for Juventus, so can Aaron Ramsey.
I'll add my ear thing out. My cat's just come in. I was saying hello to her, so you might have used... Yeah, I'll shut up now.
But now that Allegri's gone, Khedira can also piss off. Thank you, Lord.
I remember when we were going to sign him the same summer as we got Sanchez.
Yes, I remember
But
that
we
well.
Got him for free, though.
Yeah, you got like hubs run properly.
Hey, got a question we like our here. Free signings.
Got a question here from Daryl Kane. He says, opinions on Iwobi as a central attacking midfielder. I personally like it. Lana, what do you think?
I like Iwobi.
Don't ask Josh that question.
We all know Josh's answer. I was going to say no.
No?
No. Why?
Not as an attacking, not in the central, not in the number 10. We need more stability in our midfield, really. I'd have him out wide as a wide playmaker rather than in the middle. We've seen, you know, Mesut Ozil didn't play for a reason for the whole season. That's because he can't do his job anywhere else on the field.
He can't do his job, period.
Yeah. And then we didn't play Mkhitaryan in the middle at all. He was out wide as well.
He made his name doing that at Dortmund when he was magnificent, 20-odd assists a season.
Exactly. So I
didn't even get a sniff there for us.
I'd prefer to have Iwobi out wide. He's better when the ball isn't going through him consistently. I think if you just give him moments, he struggles when he's the main playmaker in a side. And that's what number 10 gives you.
Really. I could play him in the middle, but you're not playing as a number 10. You just play three in the middle. He's got the physicality to do it.
We saw it a little bit when Wenger couldn't get Thomas Lemar. And the idea was we were going to play Lemar centrally. He did it a little bit with Iwobi and he played it like a number eight position. But even then, I think I'd kind of struggle to see it. If he gets better with his decision-making, sure, but I think we turn over the ball too much, especially if you've got Xhaka in there as well.
I mean, yeah, it does rely on the other two midfielders being better than the ones we've got. But
yeah. Yeah, I think that's the problem. For me, I'd keep him out wide on the left.
But I've got a question for everybody. I'll go from left to right with Josh. Do you think Ozil's going to go? And if he does go, do you think that'll be the catalyst to a chain reaction of other transfers coming in and out of the club?
I don't think it will start a domino effect. I don't think he's necessarily... I don't think we need to get rid of Ozil to sign players. There's enough of a clear out that we need, that will happen, I believe, in the summer for us to buy players. But it would be a good player to get out of the club. Because we're not utilising him. Emery isn't utilising to his best potential and Ozil isn't utilising himself to the best potential. So I think it's best for everybody if we just end it with his career. Because he could go off somewhere else and he could be the old Ozil that saw Real Madrid easily. Or he could just fall by the wayside like he is at Arsenal. But it's just stagnated now, his career. With us.
Shame as well. As much as I dislike him with his attitude, it is a shame that it's just a wasted talent, that if he was playing somewhere else and built the team around him and played to his ability, he could be good again. John, what's your thoughts?
When I find the unmute button, here we go. I hope he goes. I really don't know, though. It depends if anyone can... Like, no one's going to pay the wages we've got him on. So it has to be... We have to work out some sort of subsidised deal or, reduced cost for him or whatever. If the rumours about Inter buying him are true or wanting him, if we can ship him off there, I'd do it. It might be very sad as an Inter Milan fan because I'd have to put up with him still. But in Italy, he'd do better because he has a bit more time. And, you know, Conte. Ugh. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked thinking about Inter now. But from Arsenal's point of view, if we can get rid of him, I think it'd be good. I don't think it would start a chain reaction, though, of players leaving necessarily. Because the problem is the ones we want to get rid of are so much further down the sort of,
how much people want them.
Yeah, like attractiveness. You know, Mustafi maybe to some clubs is still a decent buy, and I do think there is a player in there. I just think at Arsenal he's just finished now because the fans are so against him. But players like Elneny and, you know, Monreal will just go back to Spain, to wherever. You're not going to get big fees for them, so I think they were going to go regardless.
Carl?
I don't think it's started a chain reaction. I think we're clear out who we need to clear out. However, he does need to go. He really does need to go. I think his career, like everyone's saying, is just stagnated. He's not an Emery player. Emery doesn't like him. So why is he in the squad? Just for me, just taking up wages where we could use them on somebody else. So I do hope he does go. And thank you for what you've done in the past, Mesut. He's been brilliant for us. He has. But however, his career for Arsenal, I think, is finished.
Okay, Lana.
Oh, you need to sell him. I don't think it will affect the others in any way. I think they'll be glad to get rid of a lazy player. I hope he goes to Inter just to piss off John.
Do you think he will go in? What teams think he could go to? Because
he's going to Inter Milan.
Is he? Is that a strong
with
link?
With the loan, though, and where Inter pays half his wages and Arsenal pays half his wages, from what I read in the Italian media.
Yeah, but then Josh was saying we own his image rights, so we'd still have that. And we could still make money from that. So it wouldn't be a complete loss if we did still pay half his wages. That might work. Josh, that last question, ask everybody that, and then we can go.
Okay. So this question is from Pat Brady. I'm going to go to Carl first for this. What about Torreira's comments? I think I alluded to these earlier, but this actually got the quote for me about living in England. I don't know if there are many things I enjoy. I think he was mainly talking about his time in Italy. He's enjoyed his time in Italy. Is it a cause for concern that he's come out and said those kind of things?
I think a lot of players who come over get homesick or just not used to it. I mean, the weather is totally different. The culture, the food. I'm not worried. I'm not, because I think I don't think there's any chance of us selling him this season. Not a hope in hell will we sell him. However, it could affect his performance on the football pitch, and that's what I'm probably most concerned about. But I think we'd have to play it by ear. I think we probably just need someone to put their arm around him, and you know, just give him a little hug and say, you know, things will be okay. Don't worry, you know, it's not as bad. And if you want to, hopefully after the summer, you'll recharge, go to Argentina, go and spend time in Italy, wherever, come back and hopefully all be well. So I'm not really that worried.
John, same kind of thing to you. Just to add to that, do you think that's why we've been linked with the pair from Samp and also his Uruguayan compatriot, Nate Nandez, who's at Boca Juniors?
Possibly, yeah, to try and help him settle in a bit. I think also the sort of the low price they are comparative to the rest of the transfer market would be one of the other appeals of them. The one worry I would have, first thing I'd say is that it depends on the translation of the quote. And, yeah, you know, he's struggled seriously with English since he's been here. So his understanding of how to, you know, people's understanding from what he's saying to then translating it back to English, you're going to lose a little bit in that translation. So it might not be those exact words. The one worry I've got is that Gianpaolo, who was his manager at Samp, is about to take over at Milan. It's not officially announced yet, but he's going there. They don't have a ton of money to spend. I think they just bought Krunic, I think, from Empoli. They just signed. But they do need to invest in their midfield. And there's rumours of Çalhanoğlu maybe leaving, who they can get some money for, and then they could reinvest that. He really likes the manager. He likes Italy. So maybe, obviously, the Gazidis link as well. There's a possibility there. So, I don't know. I'm not overly concerned yet. As long as we got at least what we paid for him back, I guess.
Cool. Lana, do you want to answer that as well, in terms of players getting unsettled? Or do you think, as John said, a bit of a mistranslation?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think I wouldn't be worried until he wouldn't show up on the pitch, I assume. Until then, not get too upset about anything, because it's so easy to just be mistranslated in the media, as we've seen with former players, as we saw with Cech and his, you know, quote in the media. So I wouldn't be worried unless cool. He goes on a strike.
Yeah, that's true. We'll watch out for all the various different golf courses around Surrey where we may spot him. If he does go
on. Oh, he'll be soon, whenever he's not performing for Uruguay, he'll be back in Italy. He spends all his spare time in Genoa. He has done since he's been at Arsenal. Just to make people feel more comfortable about that question.
Yes, John. Well, Danny, I'll hand it back to you then on that note, and we can leave everybody having a horrible fear inside themselves.
Well, you've got, all my ancestors are Italian. You've got a choice. You've been stuck in this shitty country with this shitty fucking weather, or you could be living it up in Italy with all the lovely Italian ladies and the Italian, well, actually no Italian food, so what, garlic in it. And I'd be living on pizza and the weather and the football. Yeah, it's not really a hard choice, is it? I mean, there's a million places I'd rather live than live in bloody London. It's a shithole. I can say that because I was born there. So there you go. I can't say I blame him. I'll drive him. I'll go with him if he pays for me to live there. Imagine that, sun all year round. Anyway, I think that's the end of the show. So, thank you very much for joining me tonight, Josh.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Two nights in a row, almost.
Oh, Jesus, cheeky. John, thank you very much.
It's all right. This is the first bit of football I've had since the final, and it hasn't cheered me up at all, just like the final did. So fantastic.
And Carl, more wise words as always.
Yes, at least I turned up, and not unlike Chris, who, as we said, got seasick on land. You know,
this an absolute
kind of the person.
Fucking piss take. Part timer. That's what he is. Like his club, he's a fucking part timer. Hey, and finally, the 2018-19 listeners winner of podcast guest of the year. It's Lana. Any final words, Lana, before we go?
That was a really long title. Thank you for the votes, and thank you for having me on.
Well, there we go, people. Our next show, I think, is going to be, I'll say the next one's going to be with Chris about the Pirates fundraiser. But he turns up for that. Hey, Pirate. and then through the summer, Mike and Andy from the Gooners podcast nicked my idea of doing, we're going to do a transfer roundup. Carl, do you know anything? No. John? No. Josh? No, Lana, no. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night. That is my plan, and they fucking did it yesterday, didn't they? The absolute shite hawks. So there you go. They've taken our entire summer schedule of doing 1 minute transfer show, saying none of us know anything.
What we could do is take their show, download it, and just put our name on it and upload that. And then see which one gets more views, just to wind them up.
they ever got a couple of fatties on here and on there. Actually, we've only got one on here, haven't we? If one of you could put on a dodgy American accent, even though you're English, and I could have a picture of myself in the background up on the wall, or Lee Judges, or someone like that, I think we could pull it off. It would work a miracle. Anyway, people, and everybody in the chat box, and everybody all season, thank you much for joining us. I don't know when we're going to be back. We won't be doing much over the summer. Unless a big player goes or a big player signs, we won't be doing anything. So on that wonderful note, good night, everybody. And remember, don't eat yellow snow. I don't know what I was going to say. I'm pressing stop now. Bye-bye.